Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2 times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
12 o'clock hour, Chase William, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you next week, Thursday at noon. At this time, Silly Underdog Picks makes its return. You can sign up today at thegamenashville.com or on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And I am so excited that Derek is going to be back in the fold to be a part of Silly Underdog Picks. He is a veteran. He and Chris Sanders can chirp each other. Kelly Holcomb is going to be back as a member of the panel. I will be back. And the guy that invented the whole thing, we got to make this official, George Plaster. Hello, director.
Chase, how are you?
You know, I am fantastic. How are you? This is great music.
It is good music. You know, it's probably not as good as I thought it was in 1984 because I've heard it about 8,000 times since then. But you would think, I mean, you would think the Van Halen people would send me like a, I don't know, a free CD or
a
something.
A gift box or something.
I mean, look, you've created a brand. And I know some people in this industry don't understand what a brand is, but you created it with that music. And, you know, so it's been good.
Yes, and I know who you're talking about there. That's a good inside joke that we can do. Mace. Are you sure you want to get back in this contest?
Hey, George, I got to redeem myself, man. I didn't leave on a good note, so I got to redeem myself. I'm back.
That last season was a little rough.
Exactly.
Derek, 1 year I was 0-14 at one point. It was pitiful. I mean, and my attitude at the end of it absolutely sucked. It's embarrassing. I mean, you know, you sit there, you try to come off like you're some sort of an expert all week talking about things. And then people get to hear you, you know, and you choose a team and they get beat 74-8. That's hard to explain.
How many of those were bookets, George?
Oh, man.
Well, the worst one I ever had, and Willie remembers this, was I had gotten this notion back. It was the first year that they allowed the bubble screen. And Miami was going to Arizona State for a night game. And I did this big, you know, this Arizona State, they're going to be fired up. They're going to be, well, about 2 plays into the game. And I booked it. And 2 plays into the game, Miami throws this bubble screen where the linemen now legally can get downfield. And, I mean, there wasn't anybody from there to Las Vegas to touch this guy. And I just sort of said, I am going to get crushed. And it was like 71-7.
Good Lord.
It was bad. Now, that just for a time reference, this is how long we've done this. That was one of the first years that we did the competition, George. So I'm going to say that was 1994. I think it was either 94 or 95. So that's how far back we're going with the book it. And there was another week that you did something about a desert swarm. Was Arizona the desert swarm or was it Arizona State? Remember they had the desert?
Yeah,
you made this big to do about desert swarm and it didn't happen.
No, it was desert dead. There have been, you know, when you try to have fun with this, and you try to sell things. But the best one that ever happened, the all-time best one, was we were at the arena.
Yep.
Willie, I know you know where this is going.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, and there's a TV that I can see. And it comes Kelly's time, and he picks Toledo. Well,
I heard about this story.
Started, and they're up 14-0, and I decide I'm going to let him have it. I called him a cheater. I called him all kinds of stuff. I knew full well he didn't know. You know, and he's having to defend himself. And there's a part of him, he knows full well I don't really care, that, you know, I know he didn't do it on purpose. But then there's another part of him. Why is this pipsqueak hurling these accusations at me? It was hilarious.
It was. And what happened was we did a rules committee study, and we had to take it, you know, decide at the end of the season whether the win would count or not, because Toledo won the game. And we had to determine, was Kelly telling the truth when he –
said
made the pick.
Know.
He didn't know that the game had started. George's like, that game's already started. It's 14-0. The guy that was really upset, because we ended up giving him the win at the end of the year, the late Floyd Reese, he was not happy about that. He was not. He was like,
no.
Come on. He doesn't
he
deserve
to
get that.
He threatened to take it to the competition committee.
Yes, he did. He did. Now, George, you need to know this, too. Chris Sanders is in the competition. Chris has a very unique method of picking. Okay, so just get ready for this.
Yeah, I don't think George is going to finish last.
Well, Chris, now Chris has done this for 2 years, George, and he has the same philosophy both years. 1 year, it worked really well. Last year, he was at 1.2-30 on the season. We picked two games last year.
Okay, 2-30.
2-30, yeah.
He gets the Rich Kotite Award.
Yes. Chris will pick the biggest underdogs on the board. Like, he goes for the long bomb every week, right? And
so,
and it's feast or famine. So if he gets them, he gets big points. But he doesn't. He will whiff a lot. He has a lot of desert swarms.
Should we tell the story of the Nebraska deal?
Oh yeah.
Pissed me off, Roy. So, this was back when I was doing Vandy games.
Oh, yeah.
Willie was a part of it as well.
I think we were on a plane coming home from a game this game took place.
So we have taken – we're about to take off, and I think it's from Athens, Georgia. And I've got Missouri, and they are a huge, big, double-digit dog at home to Nebraska. And I'm like, yeah, here we go. Well, we get home, and I immediately dial up one of these score line things and find out that Nebraska has won.
Yeah, this and now I'm this like, is pre-cell phone. For people that don't know, this is pre-cell phone. This is
was this
1997.
This is car phone. This is those Motorola.
Yeah, very large phones that had the squiggly wire in the car that, you know, that's in there. So this is 97 Nebraska. Scott Frost, who is now the coach at Nebraska, he was the quarterback. This is a team that ended up tying splitting the national championship with Michigan and Charles Woodson. That year, right? So they're playing Missouri at Missouri, and Missouri's got a chance to win it. So down the stretch, George, when we got off the – I don't think we knew this was going on at the time. We had to go back and watch the highlights. But you remember the play. You remember the play, though.
Oh, do I ever remember the play? The play infuriated me because it was a tip ball where a Nebraska wide receiver sort of gets it with his foot. He's on the ground, and it pops straight up, and he catches it. And the guy's name – was Matt Davison. Now, the reason I remember that is a couple, 3 years later, I'm up in Bowling Green doing a Western Kentucky TV game. They're playing Nebraska, and the color analyst is Matt Davison. And I'm like, I am not going to pass up this chance. So I go introduce myself, and I said, I just need you to know that one day you ruined my life. I told him what happened on the catch, and he loved it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, you know, after you get out of playing and you hear that kind of stuff. You know, former players love hearing that kind of stuff. And he got a big kick out of it. He got a big charge out of it. It didn't do anything for me.
Too funny. George, I should have, you know, started this off by saying the Hall of Famer, because you were recently inducted into the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame, and congratulations to you. Well-deserved, a no-brainer, in my opinion. So what comes with being a Hall of Famer now? I mean, do you have a police escort everywhere you go? I mean, what happens?
Did they give
you
a jacket?
Did you get a jacket?
No, hold on. Let me tell you what went on there. First of all, Chase, thank you for the nice words, but here's what ends up happening. So I select Willie to be the presenter. And, you know, I paid him some money. Here are the notes I want you to, you know, run through.
I did mention Jump by Van Halen during the speech.
You did. So about halfway through the speech, I look down. I'm wearing a black suit, and I've got on a red and silver tie that initially looked really good until I spilled dinner all over.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what the hell do I do? And so I was given, you know, some instructions. Button the coat, you know, button it. Well, I get up there, and I could have gone through it without saying it, but I thought, what the heck, let's have some fun. So I just told everybody, I said, the reason I've got the button buttoned is I have had a John Belushi and Animal House moment. And y'all aren't going to see it. I just looked at it a couple of minutes ago. I have not yet taken it to the dry cleaner. It's embarrassing.
But so, it was a good move. That was, fortunately, it was low enough on the tie that the button did cover the stain. If it was any higher on the tie, then you couldn't have covered it up. It would have been exposed. You would have had to change ties.
And, you know, it was, I mean, in all seriousness, it was an incredibly cool moment. Willie and Darren were both there, which I really appreciated. A bunch of the guys off the first Vanderbilt team that I ever broadcast in hoops were there, led by Will Perdue. You know, a big table of BGA folks were there. It was just really, it was really special, really meaningful.
Yeah, and look, it was, I know it meant so much to you. It was well-deserved. You know, even having Willie induct you. Now, having Aaron Donick induct you could have been a little more entertaining, perhaps. But Willie was a good choice.
Well, look, I never thought about Aaron. Oh, my God.
She was there.
Can you imagine what she'd have said? George can be a jerk. But we still love him. Willie, think about that.
Oh, man. There could just in an alternate universe. What? That's a what-if question that will never be answered.
Oh, I don't know. I think we could.
Recreation.
Listen, Aaron, for several years, they've been nice enough to invite me over for Thanksgiving for dinner. And Aaron has a way of having more people in that house than can even fit. But last year, she made an announcement that, you know, they had scaled it back a little bit. And I couldn't resist. I just said, Aaron, in front of everybody, I said, let me ask you. I said, how close was I to not making the cut?
For COVID purposes, we had to cut it down. Because in 2020, it was just the family, right? Uh-huh. We were basically locked down for that. That was that big thing, like, should you have anybody over? Yeah. And so we didn't go there. And then last year was kind of a modified.
Uh-huh.
And so there were some family members, a little older, you know, our parents and stuff. And so we didn't want to have people crawling through the windows and stuff like we have in the past. So we did have to knock the number down. But George made the cut. So he did ask in front of everybody. How close was it?
Oh, I did ask in front of everybody.
Yeah.
I think, to be real honest, I think I was in the play-in game in Dayton.
Hey, Willie had to vouch for you, huh? Yeah.
Well, George,
what a great win in Dayton.
George, I'll end it with this. Willie walked in here today with his goofy Mets hat on because he knows our Braves are a game and a half back, and the chop is coming.
It's getting hairy.
It's getting hairy, but I got to tell you, Chase, This is no, I mean, I know a lot of people are, oh, they're right there. They're going to get it done. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Because, you know, Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom guarantee that they're not going to have a lot of long losing streaks. You know, y'all know, I know Willie knows, I've got a little past history with Buck Showalter because he was on the first Sounds team that I ever broadcast.
Yeah.
And I talked to his wife recently, and I told her to pass on to Buck that, you know, I am no fan of what they're doing. But I did tell her, if it ever gets to a point where the Braves are out and maybe it comes down to the Mets and the Dodgers, go Mets.
I agree with that. I will give you that for sure.
I like their team.
I do too. I just hate that they're in our division. Yeah. That's the tough part. But, George, thanks so much for doing this. We look forward to having you a part of what you created in Silly Underdog Picks again this year. I'm sure there will be a lot of trash talking between you and Kelly especially. So we look forward to it next week.
Who's the commissioner?
It's still one William Donick.
Oh, my God. I thought we tried to impeach him one year.
Kelly's tried every year.
Oh, Kelly always tries to make a run, a coup d'etat. He always tries to overthrow
the
commissioner.
I don't think Kelly would even be happy if his wife was commissioner.
No doubt.
He can get very grumpy.
Yes, he can.
That's a good one, Willie. I like that.
Plas, thanks so much.
You guys take care.
All right, George Plaster, Radio Hall of Famer here in the state of Tennessee, joining us for Silly Underdog Picks. It'll all get started next Thursday at 12 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and we look forward to that. Coming up here in a little bit, we'll check in with Jill Jelinek, Fox 17, to get her thoughts from Titans practice today. Plus, you'll hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Appreciate George Plaster for joining us. Hey, don't miss the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Every Monday night at 6 o'clock, live from 6 and Peabody. Eddie will also start joining this show every Friday at 1 o'clock. So, Derek, I think you're familiar with him.
Absolutely.
You guys know each other. Just a little. But look forward to having Eddie on with us to discuss, obviously, TSU and what's going on there, and also the Titans and what he sees out of them as well. So it'll be fun to have Eddie on every week. We're live at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Jill Jelinek of Fox 17 going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get her report from practice today. But I think the big thing that has stood out to me in just reading everybody's tweets is the fact that Derrick Henry was a part of the 11-on-11 team drills. And you could see the difference in the offense because of how they were able to execute play action and obviously his effectiveness on the ground.
Well, again, that goes back to what I said, about Ryan Tannehill and why people, even with his numbers and how efficient he has been as a Tennessee Titan quarterback, people still are not truly sold on his ability to lead this team to a Super Bowl, because they know it all runs through Derrick Henry. And last year, Derrick Henry wasn't there. This year, hopefully he can play all 17 games. And I think that will put the Titans back in the same position they were in 2 years ago. Where they were in the AFC Championship game?
That I think was it's 2019.
2019. Yeah. So as long as Derrick Henry is in the backfield, this team has the potential in their expectation, I think, is to get back to the AFC Championship game.
You know what's interesting is you've been pretty strong, Derek, all along, that you believe that Derrick Henry is still that level.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us to tell, and I'm glad he's getting some work in. At some point, you knew that he's going to have to get some work. I listened to Mike Vrabel talk about this a little bit yesterday. Derek and he talk about, okay, what do you want to do? And apparently Derek is the one pushing to want to do more at the practices. Mm-hmm. And Mike Vrabel's like saying, look, I know you're chomping at the bit to get going here, but let's be smart about this. I do wonder what the talks have been like behind the scenes on what's the best way to have him in peak form when the season starts. Because there's any number of theories, right? Give it to him more. He was rusty in the playoff game. I think we all agree. I think sure. Derek would say,
yeah.
If Derek Henry was at the podium right now, he'd probably say, yeah, I was in retrospect, I was a little rusty for that game. So does he need a few carries on Sunday, Saturday? Probably not, but I'm sure somebody floated that idea out there. What's the best way to have you in tip-top shape? I just love seeing him out there.
I love seeing him out there, too. I mean, injuries are going to happen in the NFL. They always do. But if this team keeps their core healthy, including Tannehill, including Henry, and gets production through the passing game with these receivers, whether it's Burks or the others that we've talked about, you have to feel really good about this offense with being matched up with this defense, because I think this defense is going to be one of the top five in the league.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I don't see any reason why they will not duplicate or even be better than what they were last season. Now, again, the cornerback situation for me is sort of a question mark because of the lack of minutes on the field for those corners. But the defense should be a top-notch defense. And you couple that with Derrick Henry being back a full season, hopefully. I think this team is in a position, to be back where they were 2 years ago. Now, will they get there? I don't know. But they have put themselves in a position, and a lot of it is predicated on whether, you know, those corners can really step up and then that offensive line. What do they do once the cuts are made? Do they address the offensive line by bringing in other guys, veteran guys? Because I can't see them just staying put with what they got.
So you have the offensive line questions. You have the fact that when Derrick Henry's back there, he's going to face the stacked box. And these are all things we've talked about, but these are themes that I think it's worth bringing them back up because they will be the big questions as the season unfolds. And that is, even with Henry healthy now, does he show signs of slowing down? And those analytical categories that we've touched on, broken tackle rate, rate of runs that gained 10-plus yards, all those things that even though last year he was putting up the yards, it wasn't quite as efficient as it had been the two seasons before that. You know, can he bounce back even and have progression there, or is this the start of the trend of a lot of running backs as they age that they lose just that little bit of explosiveness, etc.? So there's a lot of things stacked up against Derrick Henry right now in, you know, can he rebound to being a superstar, MVP caliber kind of guy?
I think the only thing that will hamper that is the offensive line and their ability to block for him. Now, I would assume they will be running to the left much more than they would to the right because of the situation on the right side of the line. So that's the only sort of hiccup I see in regards to Derrick Henry's numbers. Can the offensive line establish themselves as a legitimate run blocking team, not pass blocking, because they've had their troubles last year with pass blocking, but they've always hunkered down when it came to run blocking. So can that be the same this year with the guys they have on the line?
We'll find out what happened at practice today and talk to Fox 17 sports director Jill Jelinek coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But first, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right. Glad to tell you about QC Kinetics, because this is something you want to pay attention to if you've had some joint pain issue that's lingering and keeping you from doing the things that you love doing. Look, we all like to, in the summertime, do our thing, whether it's out on the golf course, whether you like to hike, fish, swim, anything. And if you have the joint pain as you get older, it gets harder and harder to do that freely if it's in the hips, in the back. But that's where QC Kinetics comes in. They have the regenerative medicine that restores and repairs the damaged tissue. It's a non-traditional way. It's new and it's exciting. The traditional ways with the steroid shots, maybe a surgery, something like that. They're not the only ways, even though those can be very successful as well. But don't assume that that is the only way of dealing with joint pain. Look into QC Kinetics, where they use those healing properties from your own body to restore and repair that damaged joint tissue. You can get a free consultation by calling QC Kinetics today. They're in our listening area, and they've been helping a lot of people. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and say hello to Fox 17 Sports Director Jill Jelnick, who is on the line with us. Jill, how are you?
Good. I finally stopped sweating for 1 second. Last day of training camp, and I think I finally have mastered how to try to look good on camera while also sweating the entire time. So that's good. That's good, Chase. Thanks for having me on, guys.
That is a win for sure. So the big news that I saw on Twitter was when the Titans lined up for 11 on 11, there was a monster truck with 22 lined up in the backfield, Derrick Henry, and it made the offense look like it needs to look. What did you see out of Derrick today?
It really did. I think monster truck is a very good analogy. It was very obvious the Titans were ramping him up with what, little less than 2 weeks left till that first game against the Giants, the season opener. This was by far the most reps we've seen Derrick Henry take in a practice. He was in team periods yesterday, but he did far more work today and was really grinding, making some amazing cuts, turning on the speed. I think clearly it was great to see him out there. I mean, if anyone had any doubt about his health at all of that was completely diminished today. He looked fantastic, but I think the bigger picture is, guys, that looked like the Titans offense that we're going to see September 11th against the Giants. It looked very much like, hopefully, what we're going to see a week one, where Derrick Henry is making guys miss and doing his thing while Tannehill is peppering his wide receivers. I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhina has emerged as a clear favorite for Ryan Tannehill, and I know the wide receiver room going into this training camp was a huge storyline. What are we going to expect from them? What are we going to see? Who's going to emerge? Obviously, Robert Woods, I still believe, is going to be a big veteran, but Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and his progress from a year ago stands out. So I think today the biggest takeaway, not just King Henry, but that Titans offense looks pretty darn good with a little less than 2 weeks to go.
What's your concern level, though, with Treylon Burks and the fact that, you know, they always use the phrase, your best ability is availability, and it appears that that's not all there right now. Don't know if he's dealing with something, but we've seen this going back to minicamp that there's been times he hasn't been able to finish practice.
Correct. Yesterday, he did not finish practice. He left practice early. Today, he did not practice. He was seen warming up, getting a workout in on the bike. So, yes, I completely agree with you. If you can't be on the field, then you're not contributing. Then yes, that's a concern in itself. But it's a concern any time that any of the players are missing time at practice. I think it's more concerning because he was the first-round draft pick, because that wide receiver group has still, you know, had a ton of question marks going into this year. It's also a big concern because the Titans traded away A.J. Brown, and they got another draft pick, and they moved up in the draft and got Treylon Burks. I think the expectations for him were high, and that's, you know, you could put that on the media, you could put that on the fans, you could put that on whoever you want, but first-round draft pick, yeah, their expectations are going to be high. And for him to not even be able to finish practice, of course, that's a concern. Hopefully, it is nothing serious. Like you said, you don't know too much about the extent of it. He looked good at the start of training camp. And then really last week started to tail off a little bit. And then yesterday didn't finish practice, as I mentioned. And today was just on the bike.
Now, Jill, Bud Dupree hasn't, you know, been out there much, nor has, I believe, Harold Landry. Were they participating full go today? And if so, how did they look?
Yeah, no, both. I think they're kind of similar with some of those other defensive starters, where they may not be on, full blast every single series, but they were out there today, no problem. They weren't on the list of players that weren't practicing at all. We didn't see Elijah Molden, we didn't see Jamarco Jones, D'Amico Autry, and Naquan Jones. So those are the guys that we noticed were absent today. But Bud Dupree, I saw him getting on one-on-one work before the 7-on-7, kind of on his own. He looks good. I don't see him missing a beat at all. And Harold Landry, ever since his contract extension, mm-hmm. I think he's just been kind of going through the motions and playing it safe, and haven't seen him maybe like stand out or jump out, but that's not a concern. I think he's on his own plan, just like we've talked about Big Jeff being on his plan, Derrick Henry being on his plan. I think Harold Landry just falls into that category, someone on their own plan. So even though they haven't stood out defensively the last, in training camp, not something I'm worried about.
We talk with Jill.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it does make sense a lot. I'm not too worried about that defense as a whole, Jill. We're talking with Jill Jelinek, sports director over at Fox 17. I'm not too concerned about them as a whole, but I am a little bit concerned, and I voiced my concerns to the guys about the secondary. Not that I don't believe they can get the job done or can play, but I just don't think they have enough veteran leadership in the cornerback room, not necessarily as a whole, because you have Kevin Byard in the back end, who's the best safety in the National Football League. But I just think those corners have not logged enough minutes in the NFL that I can truly say, hey, listen, this secondary, these corners are going to be one of the better groups in the National Football League.
D. Mace, I think that's absolutely fair. You're talking about just NFL experience, minutes, playing time, starting, and that's fair. It is a very young cornerback group. But you mentioned the huge key factor, and that's the leadership of Kevin Byard. And Kevin Byard spoke at the podium today after practice and was asked specifically about how he felt, one, about the defense, and two, about the cornerbacks. One, he said that the overall IQ of this defense is a lot higher than years past. So he didn't come out and say, oh, this is the best defense we've ever had. He said the overall IQ of this defense has been raised and is higher than years past. We are a lot more knowledgeable, which is interesting because they do have some younger players, specifically at that cornerback position. Then he went on to talk about the cornerbacks and spoke very highly about the progression of those three guys, and went on to say, hey, any combination of those three guys, right? We're talking about Christian Fulton, we're talking about Roger McCrary, and then we're also talking about, help me out, Caleb Farley.
Farley.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Did I miss anybody? When talking about those guys, he talked about how he felt confident any combination of those three, who, regardless of who starts, he feels like they're very good cover guys. Throw them in there, they will make it work, their talent, their skill level. And D-Mace, you're absolutely right about the experience in that position, because Caleb Farley is just coming back. He's still so young. Roger McCrary, rookie. Christian Fulton getting more experience now. They're young, but I think Kevin's overall point is the talent's there, the speed's there, the skill's there. And with Byard's leadership in that safety group and overall in that secondary, he is not concerned. He made me not feel concerned today. And so I think I'm going to trust KB when he says that he's like the progression they're on. Okay, KB, I'll listen to you. I'll take your word for it, my friend.
Jill Jelinek is with us. Jill, along those lines, they made a trade for another veteran yesterday, and he's got the Nashville ties from Overton High School, Ugo Amadi.
Yeah.
Did they talk about him much today about maybe where he fits in all of this?
Ugo, we go, right? I think we're going to have a combination of those
Jill.
Phrases.
Are you just giving some people a great idea for signs in the stands from Overton? They're going to be at the Titans games with those.
first of all, you're welcome. There you go. We, you know what, Willie, we got a chance to talk to Ugo today. But to answer your first question, Vrabel talked about him a little bit, and Vrabel gave his kind of typical, hey, surface, here's the surface answer I'm going to give you. They, health-wise, they needed some depth. They're concerned in some areas health-wise. They wanted to bring him on, someone with some experience. And basically, Vrabel kind of talked about he has some good reps, knowledgeable of the game, some experience. We needed some depth, so we brought him along. Nothing too, no big dark secrets from Vrabel, but we did get a chance to talk to Ugo today, and he was, it seemed like he wasn't catching his breath from practice. It seemed like he was catching his breath from like the last couple of days. He talked about how quick of a turnaround this was, got the phone call, came on over to Nashville, talked about just how grateful he is to be here in the city. He's over, obviously a John Overton grad, and now we have two John Overton grads with Theo Jackson as well. And Theo talked to the media today and talked about how he was laughing so hard there was going to be another Bobcat, and he knew of Ugo from before, from high school, and Ugo actually knew Kevin Byard. He's worked out with Kevin Byard here in Nashville. They've trained together. So Ugo is not just, you know, jumping into a whole new environment. He actually seemed like he was settling in nicely, kind of gave us that impression now that he's kind of caught his breath a little bit, but wants to contribute any way he can, and hopefully he'll be a good addition for them. And it definitely does not hurt to add depth, especially after the injury issues this team faced last year. Always a good idea to add some more depth.
Jill, before we let you go, Football Frenzy Live, week 2 tomorrow on Fox 17.
Yes,
go ahead and get the plug in. I got you.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, Titans is always so much fun. But Friday night, if you want to experience the chaos of Friday night football in Tennessee, I'm telling you, all you have to do is just tune in to Fox 17 at 9:30. I have 30 minutes where we run through as many high school games as we can. We get some post-game interviews as well. We have a great game of the week. Brentwood Academy, CPA at Brentwood Academy. Looking forward to that game, and then also some other fun games. We got NBA has a big game. Who are they playing? Why is it escaping me at the moment? Pro Cone. Oh, Pro Cone.
Oh, that'll
NBA.
Be a good one.
Can't wait for. Yeah, can't wait for that one. So we got a lot of great games. Start the chaos. The frenzy starts at 9:30, and I'll tell you everything you need to know on Fox 17.
Very, very good. Thank you so much, my friend, and we'll do it again soon.
Bye, gentlemen. Have a great weekend. And, hey, training camp is over. Let's get this Titans season started. Woo!
Thank you, Jill. Jill Delnick, Fox 17 Sports Director, joining us, and she is right in our training camp coverage presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. You can catch her on Fox 17 at 5:30, 9, and 10. Later this afternoon. Coming up next, you'll hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel. We'll do that next. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Appreciate Jill Jelnick for joining us. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll talk to author David Marinus, who's written a book about Jim Thorpe. Should be interesting. So we'll do that coming up in a few minutes. But first, let's hear a little bit from head coach Mike Vrabel earlier today.
What did you guys see in Ugo to bring him over here and add that position?
Well, you get kind of in a pinch here when guys, you know, start going down. And, you know, he's played in there. You know, he's got a good, you know, experience. I think that there's some physicality that shows up. He triggers in a run game. He's blitzed. So, you know, those are all things that, you know, as teams start to trend more towards, you know, 11 personnel and playing with three wide receivers on the field, you know, we have to make sure that we have enough of those guys that have played in there.
Mike, obviously Saturday's going to be the last chance for a lot of guys to make an impression on you and the staff to try to stay here. Do you enjoy seeing that effort from those guys in that last preseason game? I know you're obviously going to be busy handling stuff, but
no, I mean, I always enjoy. Yeah, I mean, of course. You know, I mean, I I want these guys that have started to improve and continue to improve over the course of our practices to go out there, and that's their opportunity to go play. You know, we'll make corrections throughout the game, but, you know, that's the opportunity for some of these guys to go and, you know, be able to, you know, have all the hard work pay off and help themselves and give them the best chance of earning a spot here or somewhere else.
Come to balance one-on-ones. You mentioned to Dez, you've seen him try the same thing a lot of the time. How much would you like to see some variety from him, and can he help himself there?
Yeah, I was just trying to find a way to win in the open field.
Gillespie, what is behind, like, kind of stockpiling so many veteran guys? Like, what do you like in those guys?
Well, they've all played, you know what I mean? And so, again, we've had some guys go down. AJ's been unavailable. You know, and we've seen flashes from each of those guys. And so we've had in the history of being here, some, you know, for guys maybe not to stick somewhere else and come and find a role in our football team for whatever reason. You know, so we'll give them every opportunity. You know, we just focus on, you know, we don't care how they get here. We just focus on what they do while they're here. And so, you know, we coach them up and see who improves in our system, what contributions they can make, and help them define a role for themselves on the team.
I guess this is the last official day of camp. And what changes from a time standpoint, focus standpoint moving forward?
Well, I mean, I think we'll transition. Normally try to transition back to our regular season schedule, getting in here, meeting in the mornings, putting them through those meetings, starting a game plan, you know, starting to do that, and then practice, you know, around noon or whenever that may be, which is usually our in-season schedule, meet afterwards and then get them out.
Recorded stuff for Saturday or already?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both.
Aside from any numbers, results, or anything, what have you seen Malik improve on over the last 2.5 weeks or so now that he's got a couple of games under his belt?
Well, we talked about, you know, there was times that, you know, we never want him to be a sitting duck, but there's also a progression. I've seen him work through his progression. I've seen him improve his timing. And then I've seen him, you know, being able to slide up in the pocket. You know, he hit Hassan when he slid up, and then he slid up and was able to attack the defense. And that's where you can make a lot of damage, you know, in this league. And then if you go out, you know, the back of the pocket, you know, using numerous quarterbacks as an example, but Josh Allen's made a living, you know, going out and making plays out of the pocket and throwing the ball downfield and keeping his eyes downfield. But there's also a time to get in and break it down a defense and then make sure that you're, you know, protecting yourself and the equipment.
How much has his footwork and throwing motion improved over the course of this camp from going back to when you
were drafted? It's just a daily progression. It's all the individual drills that sometimes you see, you know, it carry over and look just like, you know, we want it to look and he wants it to look. And there's other times where, you know, some of those movements probably, you know, may force an errant throw, a high ball, you know, one that, you know, lands short, and then the accuracy. So there's been a lot of improvement, and we just are going to keep working and, you know, excited for him on Saturday as well.
In the hurricane situation that Nick made the catch, he sprinted the ball back out. Then he and Robert were talking with the officials. What's the situation there in terms of saving time versus a K-ball doesn't come into the game?
K-ball does not. You know, I mean, when you're kicking a field goal and the clock's running inside of, 2 minutes, they're not going to K-ball it. They're not going to come in there because, you know, God love these guys, but they officiate for a reason. So the ball gets dropped, and then they have to stop it. And the last thing that anybody wants is them stopping the clock in that situation to give one team an advantage or the other. So those are all things that we're working. And, you know, I had a conversation with the officials here. This is the situation that we're in. They would only ask for a new ball, you know, if the clock is stopped. You know, it's hot out, and sometimes the ball gets sweaty, so we changed the ball when it was, you know, the clock was stopped. But in that situation with the clock running, you know, they're going to use that ball that, you know, was in play.
Willis, with that mobility, or even with Tannehill for that matter, you know, to be able to extend and go off schedule, you like to work on situations. Do you have to spend a lot of time just making sure that, you know, that is –
an organized thing that they do?
There's part of that, you know, and that was something that, you know, really Cliff wanted to make sure that was going to happen, even in just 7-on-7, that, you know, they're going to probably extend some plays. And, you know, it was good. Kyler extended a play, got out of the pocket. You know, we got two guys out of the back of the end zone, which I could show the team, like, that's exactly what we want to do when a quarterback's out of the pocket. You know, you could, there's no illegal contact. And we have to do more of that. We've got to build more of that in so that our defense can match. You know, if we're in zone, we're going to have to match guys that are in our zone, plaster. Receivers are going to have to show up where, you know, the quarterback and our offense or whatever the plan is, you know, you got guys showing up in different spots based on where the quarterback moves. So that's all good work. And sometimes, you know, if you're not getting enough of it, you can kind of build it in there and say, you know, hey, Ryan, like, you know, go 1-2 and then, you know, go get on the move. Or any of the other quarterbacks.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after practice today. It is weird to think that this is the last day of training camp. And as he said, they'll move into more of a regular season type schedule starting next week after the third and final preseason game Saturday night against Arizona at Nissan Stadium. Coming up next, we'll shift gears a little bit, talk to author David Marinus, who has written a book on Jim Thorpe. We'll do that coming up. Here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old, and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.